Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me today Nick Appleyard. He's the president and CEO and a director of TriStar Gold. That's a company that I've recommended in my newsletter, own personally, and the company is also a sponsor to the show. So I'm very happy to have Nick with me today. Nick has executive experience in mining, having previously been the CEO of Chaparral Gold and the Vice President Corporate Development for International Minerals. He has over 25 years of international experience in precious metals and exploration mining, and he has managed exploration, development, and production joint ventures in North America and South America, including extensive project development experience in South America with more than 10 years, and he's currently operating with TriStar in Brazil. So now that company's flagship project is a Castelo de Sonhos project located in Pará State, Brazil. It's an advanced stage paleoplacer gold project mineable from surface. And based on a recently completed PEA, the economics look very strong. For example, the study projected a production of 1.1 million ounces of gold over 8 years, but with an all-in sustaining cost of production of only $687 per ounce and a gold price of $1,250, the project was projected to provide an IRR of 43% and an after-tax U.S. $264 million present value. By comparison, the company's recent market cap was only around U.S. $45 million. So on that basis alone, I feel justified in saying that this stock is hugely undervalued. But there is even more upside to the story than that. So that's what we want to talk to Nick about. I should tell you before we say hello to Nick that the TriStar trades in Canada under the symbol TSG, and you can buy it in the U.S. as I have under the symbol TSGZF. And it closed this past week at around only around 19 cents in U.S. money. Welcome, Nick, and thanks for joining me again today.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jay.
Really good to have you, and I know we have to hurry because you're on your way to the project in Brazil that you're, the TriStar is working on. You know, as I understand it, you have really focused on just one part of a much larger Castelo de Sonhos project, namely the Esperança South deposit, but the economics are very strong. Can you talk just a little bit about the nature of this project and why the economics look so strong?
Yeah, I think, Jay, it's really to do with the fact that it's a very young project in its development cycle. You know, it's a large project as a plateau about 9 kilometers across. But as you said, when we started to develop it, we just looked for the easiest, the highest margin stuff first. So that drew us to Esperanza South, where, you know, we have 6 to 8 kilometers of strike, of outcrop of the mineralized conglomerates. And there was Garimpeiro workings in there from the 1990s, so you could sort of, you had a very high confidence level that there was gold there because someone's already been taking it out. In the end, because of it coming out of the ground, outcropping, it just made it a very easy target for us to go after a nice consolidated package, drill that out, prove that the project as a whole has real economics and real potential. So that's why we focused on Esperanza South just to start with.
Okay, so you mentioned 6 to 8 kilometers. How much of that is factored into that PEA?
Oh, I would have to say about, no, that's probably, there's probably about 5 kilometers in the PEA of strike.
Okay.
It's discontinuously drilled at that stage. There's a few little gaps that we're trying to fill in there.
Oh, okay, and that's part of what you'll be doing this year in 2020?
Yes.
So to upgrade and to perhaps even increase the resource?
No, we will be trying to optimize it a little bit. It is predominantly infill into the PEA. Obviously, as you do that, you try and chase nice bits of grade where you can and move away from lower grade areas. So there's a little bit of tweaking, but predominantly just upgrading from inferred into measured and indicated categories.
Now, the goal of TriStar is to become a producer. Do I have that right?
Yes, the goal is to remove Castelo de Sonhos into production. I think it's fair to say myself and the board are ambivalent as to if we do it or if a better opportunity comes along to partner with a big company who could put it into production, you know, because that capital hurdle is always going to be an issue for a smaller company. But it's, for me, it's a business decision. There's no sort of ego involved in whether we build it or someone, or we partner with it or we sell it to someone. It's whatever's best for the shareholders at that point.
Right. So you're in the process now of de-risking this project. I know that you are. You're actually going to be starting, or have started actually, a preliminary, well, not a preliminary, you're talking about you're doing further economic studies. I guess you're moving more towards a feasibility or a pre-feasibility study at the present time, right?
Yes, so right now we're doing the pre-feasibility study, and that's what I'm heading down to Brazil today to work on that. And that will be finished in Q4 this year.
Q4 this year. So that's certainly one thing to keep our eyes on. And all right, so what you just put out a press release talking about your achievements for 2019 and what you hope to achieve in 2020. Can you talk about both of those issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So 2019 seems to have come at the end of quite a few tough years in the junior cycle. But I think from TriStar's point of view, it ended up being a sensational year. We did that transaction with Royal Gold. Mm-hmm. We sold them a 1.5% NSR royalty for $8 million, which I think was and we were all very happy with it, and all our shareholders seemed very happy with that transaction. It's non-dilutive, so they get, we get the cash, we move the project forward nicely. On the back of that, we then also, and I think this is a bit exciting, we'll be talking about, we've also raised another $2 million Canadian at the end of the year, solely focused on upside potential. And in line with that, we signed a contract to work with a group called Goldspot Discoveries, who we can talk about in a minute, I guess. But that's the sort of exciting bit beyond the feasibility.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then so going through 2020, I guess you'll be doing, as you said, some more infill drilling and work on your feasibility. And then what?
Yeah, so we'll be finishing our infill drilling. We're about halfway through the program. We hope to finish that end of March, early April, resources mid-year, and then the final part of the study complete in Q4. So that's sort of our one channel of news, one channel of our work that's going on. The other part, which is, I think, the part that internally has got us really excited, is this work with Goldspot Discoveries. So what Goldspot Discoveries do is they're really trying to drag our industry kicking and streaming into the 21st century, mm-hmm. by bringing machine learning, artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. to use. And that's, we want to make sure that people understand that it's not like a magic bullet which creates massive ore bodies. What it does is it takes all of this massive amounts of data that we generate on a project and has a computer looking at it in a way that a human just can't. Mm-hmm. So the end result of what that's going to do for us, so what we're going to see in 2020, is a massively accelerated and much more efficient exploration program. That's the sort of the two things that it does for us in a practical sense. So the exploration that may have taken us several years to do and quite a lot more money to do, we will start getting results out in the next 3, 4, 5 months.
All right. So that's another thing for investors to keep their eyes on. Can you comment a little bit on the larger picture there, the Castelo de Sonhos project? And I think, as you said, you focused on Esperança South because that was where the most obvious deposit lies. But with machine learning and all, I mean, might you use that as well to explore the bigger picture at Castelo de Sonhos?
Well, absolutely. And that's really the main focus of it. A little bit of it will help us in Esperança South, but the real focus of working with Goldspot Discoveries is to look deeper into the plateau and look for the next quantum change in this deposit. Like I said, it's really young in its life cycle. Mm-hmm. When you look at Tarqui, look at Jacobina, these, which are the analogous deposits, they go for a long time and they find a lot more gold as the mine develops. We're just trying to accelerate that process. So yeah, with Goldspot Discoveries, we've got ideas, theories on deep targets, mm-hmm. Along strike targets, second sources of gold. So one thing is interesting, it doesn't have to be paleoplacer. It can be remobilized, or it could be the original source of the gold. That's one of the things we've got one eye on, because we know that the placer gold was deposited from somewhere.
Yeah.
With the you know, the greater amount of computing skill, we'll actually be able to get directions back to where to look for that original source of the gold. So there's a lot of things that could come out of it. And what's really good is it's very efficient, and it's going to come out, as I said, in the next 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah. What I think most investors that aren't familiar with this sector don't realize is how much science goes into making a discovery, and then, of course, production as well. But with this machine learning now, it I guess exponentially, it empowers geologists exponentially, because it can put together all manner of data that and factor it together in a way that humans can't really do, right? So it's...
No, absolutely. Especially these days, we seem to be collecting a lot more data. And once it just becomes overpowering to a geologist. The geologist can look at a cross-section with drill hole and gold grades, but in your mind, you can't integrate that with geophysics and geochemistry all at the same time in a three-dimensional format. Right. Or even in four dimensions, because we're looking at the time when things were developed relative to each other. So
for sure, yeah.
That's where the computer can just do what we just can't do ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my way of thinking here, with a minuscule market cap, obviously very strong economics, I guess it's hard to see why the shares are trading where they are, as low as they are. But I would ask you that one other question that comes to mind. What about the community relations and Pará State, Brazil, which I believe is a very pro-mining province of Brazil? But could you just comment perhaps briefly on your relationship with local people? Because that's always an important aspect for companies mining in another country.
That's dead right. Well, it's critical wherever you are, I think. I think mining projects, it's like real estate. It's like location, location, location. Before I moved into this company, one of the things we looked at a lot was where this is situated. And being right next to a highway, right next to a power line, we've got the infrastructure. But then, as you said, the community side is critical. There is a local community about 20 kilometers from site, but they're all originally, they moved to the town in the 1990s for logging, farming, and mining. Mm-hmm. They're sort of primary industry people who, as a general issue, you know, generally would not object to a mining project near them. And as such, we don't have any issues right now. You know, it's always going to be a challenge permitting a mine anywhere in the world these days. But right now, this one looks very, very simple, and it looks like there are no objections as we go forward right now.
All right. Just in wrapping up then, Nick, perhaps just remind our listeners what they should be watching for in 2020.
Okay, I think the big thing's going to be the first half of the year is going to be this upside, what's coming out, what's there beyond Esperanza South, you know, where this project's going to get to, and hopefully some idea of total size we might achieve. So the exploration results are going to come out over the next 3 to 6 months. And then after that, the focus will move on to completing the pre-feasibility study in the second half of the year.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Nick. It is an exciting opportunity, I think. People aren't really paying as much attention. That's why we wanted you to tell the story to our listeners, at least, so they can get a heads up and profit from the hard work that you're doing.